All right, we are live again after another forum, another conference that was held just recently on December 2nd. Really, it was quite an interesting format. We had new stuff going on in the studio. It did turn out to be shorter than our usual live stream for about 12 hours, but it's just that the speakers in the studio in Atlanta, they really got emotional because of the information that was presented once again. We would advise everyone to go and watch the forum, because this time, really, all the guys who participated in the preparation of this forum, Global Crisis, the responsibility, really surpassed themselves by simplifying to the maximum the information, the complex information that we've been talking about the climate, and also, as always, about the way out, how we can overcome these issues that are really intensifying. It's not that we are looking out for this information, but it's already everywhere. We have people who suddenly remember that we've been talking about the issues with the climate. I think I told you when we were speaking on the phone yesterday that a friend of mine, once the climatic disasters intensified in Russia, in the Sochi region and Georgia and Odessa, this part of Ukraine in the Black Sea, where they had waves of up to 10 meters, if I'm not mistaken, 10 meters high, and hotels were flooded. I mean, everyone seen this on the news. We will not go into detail about everything that has happened, because every day we see a lot of things happening. And guys, I think we'll post also a link to a Telegram channel that really gathers the most significant events that are happening all around. Just to continue the story, a friend called me and said, look, I remember that you sent me these videos of your forums, and it is happening. My friend told me that his friend actually built a house on the shore of the sea, and it was washed away before he could even, you know, he didn't even insure the house yet. It's just brand new, and it just washed away. This friend remembered, and he called me, please tell me more. It's sad that we have to come to these things, really destroying houses, destroying human lives, taking human lives, that people start to remember about the things that we've been talking. On this note, I will pass you the floor. You spent a lot of time preparing the forum, and we didn't have any episodes because we were working on different aspects, and you've been in the studio. So please share how it was for you and all the guys who were there.
Yes. Thank you so much, Alexei. And you know, we never do the same forum. We never repeat ourselves. Every time the team of Creative Society volunteers are getting to prepare something new, it's always something absolutely new level, new sort of information. And I'm sure that you have seen it for yourself. You know, those viewers who have seen the forum, they have seen how much visually much more explanatory it all became, with all the 3D animation, with all the special effects. Like, we really pushed the bar on a new level, and we were hoping that people gonna resonate. Also, what we noticed from previous forums, so we were trying so hard to get this forum to reach as many people as possible, and we were trying to censor out all the materials that could be flagged as sensitive content by social media platforms, various ones, and, well, especially YT, since it's the major platform, YouTube, of course. What we have seen that with recent conferences, especially America at the Crossroads 2024, which went out live on October 7th, it was still flagged and censored and marked as 18+. So we decided we're not gonna try to ease up the content. We're gonna show reality as it is. And we're not gonna try to make them be gracious and allow us to show this content. We decided that we're switching to Rumble. That's gonna be our main platform, and this platform will be the main source of the stream of the information about climate reality. What happened next, you have seen for yourself. Well, my friends, the content which was shown, where you are witnessing, the father from Turkey was holding hand of his daughter laying on the mattress under the concrete plate. And for the speakers in the studio, it was obvious that we are going to be in the shoes of that father, that none of us is going to be able to avoid this destiny. The fact that this information brought us to tears is because we're humans and we understand what is happening. The fact that this is our reality is not obvious for the majority of the population. They think these are some unfortunate people over there. For us, it has been a tremendous stress for many years, understanding that we are going to be in the shoes of those people. When John was seeing that father, John is a father of two little daughters himself, and he knows just by statistics that this is going to affect his family as well. There is no way to avoid it. It's a simple math. It's a simple mathematical progression. And you know, the smartest people of us, the scientists who have been researching the progression of climate disasters for past decades, and we presented all of this information. You know, it was so simplified for the understanding, yet it contained all the comprehensive analysis, all the data. It was backed up with all the facts, all the researches. It's impossible to research this data and not to find evidence of what is actually happening. And that is why our speakers decided to leave the studio, because emotionally, it's very heavy information. But if there is no response to what has been told already, then as one of our speakers said, how long we gonna punch the dead horse if there is no reply? As you said, your friend's house has been washed away off the shore of the Black Sea. And only then he recalled that, yes, some time ago he did hear something about progression of climatic disasters. They said it's one time in 100 years kind of a event. One time in 100 years storm in the Black Sea. A couple of years ago, there were hurricanes in Florida, which destroyed a couple of cities. They were saying, well, it's one in 500. Next year, two of those happened. They say, well, this happens one in 1,000 years. The next year, most severe ones happened. They did not say nothing because they understand that this becomes abnormal. You cannot get used to it. There is no way to adapt to it. When you are hearing this is the new normal, this is not new normal. This is abnormal. Ceiling is falling on your head, can you adapt to it? How can you adapt to it? If the ceiling is about to fall on your head, if your house is on fire and we're screaming at the top of our lungs, get out of that house, it's about to collapse. It's going to collapse. And you keep sitting there saying that, why are you trying to scare me? Why are you fear-mongering? Then there is nothing we can do over there. We presented all possible information. We broke down as simple as possible. You know, there were many shocking facts. Like the facts where we were conducting interviews with people who lost everyone. There is a young gentleman from Morocco who says he lost father, mother, grandparents, 5 brothers. And then the journalist says, hold on a second, you lost all those relatives? I don't know, how can you stay human being there? Because Alex, I know you had friends who were in Morocco that day. They experienced that for themselves. And then they came back and they playing like they have short-term amnesia, like nothing happened. Like they got out of the trouble. They keep on living, going to fancy events, enjoying their lives like nothing happened. They really do not understand that what is happening is not normal, that there was no supposed to be an earthquake in that place at that time, that what is happening around the world is not okay, that Acapulco was not supposed to be hit by a Category 5 hurricane that was a tropical storm, Category 0, just 12 hours before it destroyed Acapulco, that is not normal, that blooming desert in Saudi Arabia is not okay, that it's not something to admire, that there should be no northern lights in Georgia, that is a very alarming sign. Do people not really understand that when new islands, volcanic islands, emerge off coast of Madagascar, Japan, and in other parts in the world, that is not supposed to be happening? Do people really not see the reality? And therefore, I want to ask you, friends, you're seeing people being really emotionally stressed. I know people who, you know, from living in Los Angeles, they say, oh, I have anxiety. Their latte didn't contain their favorite sort of milk replacement. That kind of things give them anxiety. We have to collect this information, collect all the data, and preserve the sanity and stay an emotionally stable state of mind for years and years. Many of us had to escape military actions. Many of us had to escape climatic disasters, and yet still work on this life-saving information, hoping that you're going to wake up in time to save your life. As one of our speakers says, if how long can we punch a dead horse if it's not going to wake up in time, as we've been told? If we're not seeing progression on creative society by the end of 2024, what's our timeline? If all of a sudden we're going to wake up, but all the scientific facilities going to be already destroyed, majority of scientists will not have resources, economy will be collapsing at that time, what is good of waking up then? Time to wake up right now, friends. Time to wake up is right now.
I totally agree with you. We think that everything is going to be the same, that we will have the same facilities, internet, for example, or other means of communication like telephones. I don't want again to do what people call fear-mongering, but just yesterday there was another solar flare that was one of the biggest for the last 10 years, I think. People who are more sensitive, they feel the results. But what a lot of people maybe do not understand that how heavily we rely on everything electronic and how things can just be fried by this kind of solar activity, electromagnetic pulse and everything. But even not taking this into account, we still have this possibility to discuss things. But as you said, like for how long, how many more once in a lifetimes do we have to live through to understand that something is going wrong with the planet? And it's not gonna stop by itself. We see it's the biggest snowfall in 10 years, but the snow continues to fall. And then, it's in the 60 years, it's in 100 years, in all history of observations. And then news anchors, they just stop saying anything about in how many years this is the highest amount of snowfall or highest amount of rainfall or anything else. And we see this with a lot of things. You mentioned a friend of mine who actually happened to land in Morocco at just the day before, I think, the earthquake, or even that day, and that during the night, the earthquake in Morocco happened. Just coincidentally, we met in France during an event. She was telling, I've been there in Morocco. I was at the restaurant with a friend, and then the earth started to... She employed the comparison like it was going in waves, like it was water, the same as the water in the swimming pool. It started making waves. They had to leave, run outside, and they were not let in the hotel during the night, luckily for them. It is Morocco, it's not cold outside, so you can kind of survive when you have some clothing. But then again, it's crazy how people are not willing. I'm not saying they're not able, because they are able. We all are sensible human beings when this touches some other parts of our life, some different aspects, because, you know, we all grown ups and somehow we manage to finish school, university and work, and we have houses, cars, kids and everything. We do have common sense, otherwise we wouldn't be here. But somehow, and this is what is interesting to me, the survival instinct gets switched off when we are talking about natural disasters. And this is why I'm asking myself, but how many once in a lifetimes do we need to go through as humanity to understand that this will not stop? This will not stop, because every day you watch the news, they start by telling that, here is enormous amounts of snow. Here it's enormous amount of rain. And here there's a hurricane. Here there's a tornado. And guys, every time we start talking about these things, we are being told, you just collect this information. This is why social media shows you this information, because this is what you're looking for. And I agree that in a sense, it is the case that the algorithm really shows you what you're looking for. But it doesn't mean that these things don't happen. The fact that some people don't pay attention to these things doesn't mean that they will not one day become victims of such events. This is why, as well, when we start talking about different consequences of such events. And we tell people that, guys, you better get prepared for, at least in some way, prepare a bug out bag or just have some water and food in your house. Depending on the region, obviously, where you live, you might need different things, but this can save your life. I don't want to frighten anyone. There's one thing, you know, there's this Warn Winch's slogan, you know, the winch to pull you out. Go prepared. If you are not prepared, at least if you don't put information inside your head about what to do in case of this and that emergency, if you don't help yourself in the future, you will not be able to pull out of your head anything besides fear when disaster strikes. And this is why it is important to at least get acquainted with emergency procedures, where to go, where not to go. It may save your life. I can't understand why people think that this is some superfluous stuff that you don't need to do. But there are a lot of, obviously, preppers, you know, who were considered like crazy guys, but they were mostly prepared for civil unrest or some sort of attack by an EMP or nuclear explosion or whatever. But they're not prepared for something like an earthquake, a hurricane, or something else, because this is a different kind of preparation. And yeah, I don't know. What is the climate of preparedness in the US? Have you talked to someone after the forum? Maybe you had some echoes from your neighbors or your connections there.
You know, when I'm hearing from people that they think this is not something they should be prepared for, even the civil unrest scenarios are very popular because they're being shown on the media. We are seeing these movies right now. There is a big movie on Netflix that just came out, and it's all propagating the divide and conquer kind of mentality that all humans will behave as animals. Like, it's so indoctrinated into our heads that during real climatic events or even military actions, when people start behaving as humans, people actually break in this absurdity that has been indoctrinated for decades, that we're supposed to act like animals. Instead of that, we're seeing an example where people go in and help other people. This is the humane way of behavior. This is how it should be. But that's not the case of scenario we're being prepared by the media. They're showing us exactly opposite. If you watch any sort of disaster movie, it's always chaos, panic, and people don't know how to behave. People become marauding within hours. And we know life examples when people really do behave like that. When climate disaster hit south of the US about 2 decades ago, those people who have been there, police was looting. You know, police was looting. Everyone was looting. Everyone was murdering. The question is, friends, why don't we want to switch on our brain at least a little bit before the disaster comes and start thinking, if something really abnormal is happening, shouldn't you be aware of that? Like our scientists do. And we have seen that a lot of scientists do understand this information. A lot of scientists do understand that there is way more to climate than just emissions, which is, by the way, something that has been heavily discussed at COP28 when they gathered all the politicians, policymakers. They have been discussed and wasted millions of dollars of taxpayers' money to create this fancy event. Indeed, very beautiful. Looks very nice. What's the outcome? The General Secretary of the UN keeps posting on the X platform every day that 1.50 degrees Celsius goal should be met by 2030. We're going to do what? We're going to get rid of cattle. We're going to get rid of cars. We're going to decrease human ability to survive the extreme weather conditions that are definitely coming up, kind of like they did in Europe, where price of heating is so expensive that barely people can even afford it. They have to heat up bottles, put them under the blankets, and go to bed with bottles of hot water. And that is recommendation from UK officials to go to bed like that. Are you guys serious? Well, what's next? They're gonna suggest to get an axe or hatchet and go cut woods for yourself? There are not too many woods left in Europe, guys, for us to heat our homes for the next years. So what are we getting ready for? Is it something we're gonna adapt for as well? The lack of basic necessities Is that where we are preparing for? Volunteers of the Creative Society who came to COP28, they were given a spot at the secondary stage in the very corner of the whole that infrastructure with a very few people being there and even know. But yeah, they were presenting this life-saving information, the true causes of climate change at that conference. And they did live stream it. So people were able to go there and see this information. Yet, guys, this reminds me the story with the 1920s when there was a newspaper in Germany which was trying to warn the German nation and people of Europe that something really terrible is happening in Germany. If that one party that later took over, if that one person that later became the most notorious dictator in the history of humankind, if they're not going to be stopped, that newspaper was warning, we're about to see a disaster happening. And you know what was the response from people? It was very similar compared to the response from people to Creative Society warnings that we are making today. They were saying, why are you exaggerating? There's not really much threat that party possesses and that guy with the funny mustache. There is not really much to be scared of. Why are you trying to fear monger? Why are you trying to exaggerate it? And you know what later happened when that mustache guy got to power? They burned the office of this newspaper. The journalists had to flee the country. Many of them were prosecuted and ended up either in jail or even lost their lives for attempt to try to warn you in time. This is what kind of response they got. And unfortunately, we are seeing the very same lack of response, lack of understanding from people. They're saying, why are you scaring us? And you know, you would think maybe there are scientists who have more understanding, who could really deep dive into this information and verify it. But what is the scientific response? It's very similar to the response to the Paul Lavelet's theory when he found out evidence in geology of cosmic impact to our planet 12,000 years ago, and he was talking about cycles. He was assuming that it's some kind of galaxy race or cosmic impact that goes on from the center of galaxy, he was assuming back then, and it goes through our planet, and he was talking about the impact in both North Hemisphere and Southern. And this is something that was not taken into account. Yet, everyone who later was doing research, they confirmed that cyclical nature of 12,000 years impact does exist, that it affects the very core of our planet, and the consequences of it is catastrophic climatic disasters on the surface of our planet that are happening every 12,000 years. Of course, Paul Lavelet in the 1970s was very limited to his abilities, and yet he was able to research it. Yet, this theory was not picked up by the mainstream science. The mainstream science had another agenda. Also, it reminds me one topic of that happened more than 100 years ago. In 1888, there was a scientist, Pan Osipovich Yarkovsky. He was a Polish-Russian. He suggested that some kind of ether is being absorbed within the Earth and transformed into new chemical elements, forcing celestial bodies to expand. And this theory of growing Earth, how the ether is being absorbed by the cores of our planet, by our interior, expands in volumes, new chemical elements created, and the Earth grows in size. That's why a long time ago there were many planets of the size of our planet Earth. But with time, they keep on growing, and the older the planet is, the bigger in size it grows. You know, there were many scientific researchers, many researchers who deep dived into this causation of growth of our planet, how it expands, like Otto Christopher Hindenburg and Nikola Tesla in 1935, they were both assuming that there was some kind of ether energy that transforms into normal matter inside of our planet, and therefore the planet grows in size. Yet, this theory was very uncomfortable because then the chemical element, the number zero element in the periodic table was ether. Yet it was very inconvenient to have it there because that would jeopardize and that would go against the political and economical interest of those who were selling power, who were interested in digging fossil fuels and creating profit out of it. So it was much more comfortable to put a wire to put some kind of sensor on the wire and to get money from you consuming energy rather than provide free energy in the beginning of the century. So for political and economical reasons, this theory was banned because it was taking into account ether. And you know, right now, after global crisis, there is a way out after the hypothesis that was presented at the very end of it. We understand that ether itself is incorrect. So is the dark matter kind of theory that is being suggested right now to very much explain the very same thing that ether was explaining. Yet the hypothesis of serpents, of snakes, of little tiny particles of energy explains it from a much more holistic perspective. For those of you who didn't yet see it, I suggest to you to rewatch Global Crisis, There Is a Way Out, the very last hour, on which it's really mind-blowing. And it takes into account not only scientific background, but cultural, which goes out back to 24,000 years ago when the first structures, when the first buildings with domes appeared on our planet, and for which reasons those were built. It's only for you to understand whenever next time you're going to go to a church or any kind of other religious building, or maybe even Capitol Hill, and you will stand there under a dome and people going to tell you, hey, you absorb energy here. Stay here for longer to get more energized. After watching that, you will understand that this is the place of energy, but not receiving energy. This is the place where you giving away your energy, just like a small battery. It comes very close with understanding of, you know, the whole, there's one religion that is dominant right now in the world. And one of their highest priests, not so long time ago, he stated that, you know, the universal Eucharistie never ends. And I think this theory gives you understanding what kind of Eucharistie he was talking about, because they have knowledge. Yet, friends, the theory presented at this forum, Global Crisis, The Responsibility, by our virtual speaker, destroys the whole false narrative of the current theory of drift of tectonic plates, of so-called subduction zones where one plate dives onto another plate under its own weight. AI character asked a couple of simple questions. One of them was, how can tectonic crust with a density of 2.8 to 3.2 kilograms per centimeter cubical under its own weight submerge into mantle with a density of 3.6 to 4.6 kilograms of on cubical centimeter? Explain to me that. If you take something as a crust, which was compared to a cracker, and try to stick it into a piece of rubber, like a tire of your car, with a much thicker, much higher density, will it stick in there under its own weight? So friends, a simple question. How can something with a density that is lower submerge under its own weight into a mantle, which is much thicker, much denser, and so on? And there were more questions which completely puzzle anyone who's studying, so-called scientists who criticize our forums without even watching it. They're not going to be able to answer even one of those questions. Like, one of them was, how is it that the amount of zones of spreading, mid-ocean spreading, where mantle is coming outside and spreading, in size it's much larger than the subduction zones. How is it possible, friends? Well, the real explanation of it is that at the certain places in our planet, there are deep focused earthquakes and there is no way to explain them. The theory, false theory, was suggested that those are happening because tectonic plates dive under one another and they break in the mantle, deep in the mantle, and creating these waves of earthquakes, which is absolutely false. Tectonic plate cannot submerge that deep. Back then, they were assuming that these deep focused earthquakes would be happening on 400 or 500 kilometers. We know today they're happening at 700 kilometers. They were happening there 10 years ago, which was considered to be impossible. Yet, all these facts were not taken into account. All this information was not holistically studied by anyone, except for the heroes from the Creative Society and Elettra movement, the real heroes, scientists who brought this knowledge to our forums. We're seeing no reception from mainstream science, yet we're seeing that more and more people do understand what is happening to 12,000-year cycle, and Professor Arushanov and scientists who were presented. So, you know, those who want to find the evidence, they will. The question is, when it's given in such a short and understandable format, it's really frustrating to see that people trying to hide away from this information. There was one interesting thing we noticed, that this was the first forum on which many people in the comment sections, especially under videos that gained millions of views on TikTok and social media platforms with a shorter format of videos, they were asking in the comment section, what can we do? And this is also one of the signs, one of the things that changed. People actually start asking, what can we do? Because the question, should we do something or should we just ignore it? It's for many people, especially the ones who are experiencing what is happening in Grindavik, Iceland, what is happening in Philippines right now. And I think we're going to talk about a little bit later about what happened about 13 years ago in Saudi Arabia, which kicked off unprecedented chain of events. But Alex, let me pass the floor to you for now.
You mentioned Grindavik, and for one of my work projects, a guy who lives in Reykjavik, so it's not very far in Iceland, asked, do you feel it? Is there any repercussions? He said, funny enough, we just passed with the car by Grindavik, and right now there is the earth split and everything. And this brings me again to these thoughts about, you know, we are behaving like animals. When you see a gazelle that's being chased by a lion or a cheetah, the heart is pumping, they run as fast as they can. But once they get out, if they are lucky, in 10 minutes, they're grazing the grass again as if nothing had happened before. And it looks to me that we are behaving much like this gazelle, you know, that really lives without forecasting, without making any projections of what can be the next step. When you think that you're out of the trouble, life continues as normal. I don't say that you have to be afraid all the time, but just think that, okay, so if these sort of events are increasing, they are increasing in number, in intensity, and the geographical spread of events as well is increasing. Should I be doing something? If yes, then what? And if you see people who desperately try to explain to you what is really happening, that it's not because you're eating meat or because your cow is farting or whatever, or you're driving a car, that there is a way out, but we need to hurry up. We already told the scientific community what is causing these events to occur. All they have to do is find exactly the nature of these cosmic rays and find a way to use this energy or to divert it or stop it. We have to remember that there is a certain inertia. When you turn off the heat under boiling water, it still continues to boil for some time. So the same thing will happen with the Earth core that is heated up by these cosmic rays. We already presented the theory that you've been talking about, the theory of how the matter is constructed. We also tell about the perspectives of our civilization. If we choose to switch to this way of living where human life is the highest value. We talked about fuel-free generators. Again, we even showed some examples during the last forum. We talked about the regeneration capsule, but not only as a concept. We presented this time scientific evidence that many researchers are already approaching this Rubicon of extending the lifespan and the health span of humans by many times. And as usual, as a gift from our scientists, there was presented another theory that explained how exactly, what to look for and where to look in order to extend human life so that we can live in a healthy body for hundreds and hundreds of years, at least 1,500. How is this not interesting to people? Can someone explain to me? I mean, these things really get me excited about the future that we all can have. Imagine free energy We've been told to buy electric cars, but now when the abnormal frosts hit many parts of the world, even Hawaii had snow. After the fires, they had snow. We are seeing abnormal cold temperatures. I just talked to my father. He told me, oh, it's getting a little less cold. It's only minus 25. It was minus 35 just a couple of days ago. But in the area, it was minus 47. It's been a long time. They didn't have as low as temperatures there. And electric cars, they just stop. You see footage of cars in Russia, Kazakhstan, especially. They had a lot of snow. Along the highway, you see electric cars that are just standing there because they do not withstand the cold. We could have fuel-free generators powering these cars. No need to recharge, no need to pollute, no need to get lithium or whatever, cobalt, anything. There are working prototypes, not prototypes, but working examples. There are people organizing even conferences in Zurich. Our participants were invited to one of these, and they spoke with the developers and researchers who really have working FFGs. And yet people somehow tell that, oh, these guys from Creative Society, again, with their fear-mongering. Guys, it's not only fear-mongering. I mean, we are not fear-mongering anyone. We are warning. Warning and fear-mongering is different things, because fear-mongering just frightening everyone without giving a way out or explaining what is happening. Because what is the most frightening to a person is the uncertainty, not knowing what is happening, not knowing what is going to happen. This is what's really scary. But if you explain to someone that, okay, we have these events that are occurring everywhere around the globe, but they're happening because of this and that, we need to do these types of research, we can find a way to divert or use this energy. But also we need to build houses, vertical farms in the safe zones. Already presenting some of the safe zones in the US, and people were asking, oh, but yeah, tell me about the safe zones in Europe. It's not about telling everyone about the safe zones. Safe zones will be safe for maybe months, maybe days, maybe 1 year. And again, beautiful film that depicted what would be the life of a person who jumped on this bandwagon and sold everything and bought land and constructed a bunker in a safe zone. How he ended up. Guys, we are producing films that, I mean, it would be great to put this one on Netflix, I would say, but it's really the production quality. And but our guys, they didn't even have to play, I would say, right? It's not about being a great actor, although beautifully done. Congratulations, guys. But when you understand what's coming, you kind of already are in this role, you know, you understand that these things, this is what will happen, because our scientists are clear. It's not, there's no two way of thinking about what is happening. It's not going to stop. And it's just a matter of when. But guys, go watch the forum. You will see by yourself that there is a lot of things to, it's visually pleasing. It's appealing how the information is presented, how everything is explained. I liked your analogy with the pitch, explaining the construction of our planet, the Earth core, the mantle, and everything. Guys, it is already the simplest explanation possible. You have the best explanation of what is happening. You just have to say, okay, we want for this to stop, and we want to live in a society where we can live for hundreds of years in a healthy body, young body, without any disease, and having free energy. What's more to ask? I don't know.
Yeah, it's very interesting that if people have a holistic picture of what is Creative Society offering, of what is the suggestion, of what is the way out. And for that, friends, there are two forums, Global Crisis, Our Survival is in Unity, and Global Crisis, There is a Way Out, which I suggest you watch to have a comprehensive picture of what is happening and what are the solutions. Today we have all the fabulous technologies. Our science, despite the fact that there are a couple of misconceptions when it comes to science, especially fuel-free generators, it's very well developed. We understand that there are sources of energy, there are sources of water, there are sources of food, and we can produce all of it in unlimited quantities anywhere in the world. Doesn't matter where is the location. And we can turn Sahara Desert into a blooming garden with currently existing technologies. They also have been presented. So overpopulation is a myth. This narrative that there are too many people, not enough resources, and that population should be reduced for, again, ecological agenda. When did it start? In the 70s. We have been discussing at the Kaleidoscope of Facts why exactly 30 years after defeating that mustache guy, their bank accounts in Switzerland and all over the world were cashed, and certain actions started taking place all over the world, which lead us to the very same things we're seeing now. All this madness, all this inhumaneness, all this, you know, really opposite of what we're expecting our future to be. Even if you read the futuristic books from 100 years ago, you see how much aspiration and expectations people have for the future. Right now, we're seeing the future seems to be presented to us as dark medieval times, where we have no energy, no safety, and we're a small group of elites ruling over all of us. Creative society, on the other hand, suggests you that there should be no one ruling you, that you're capable of self-governing, so as the whole society can self-govern. Exactly like it's been told by Buddha Gautama, whether it was Jesus, whether it was Prophet Muhammad, the greatest of all people. We all know, they all have been telling us that no one is higher and no one is lower, that all people should be living as human beings. And they told us exactly what kind of society to build. Yet we followed those who distorted their teachings and who built their empires of power and who only care about profit and power and who have been hiding truth, who have been trying to suppress science for hundreds of years and even thousands of years. Maybe it's time for the truth, friends. Maybe it's time to recognize that who are we following? If we're following those who have been presented as Dajjal, as Antichrist, and people expect them to come and start ruling us, but they are already ruling you inside of your head with all the visual images, with all the pleasant illusions of your material gains in the nearest future. We had a nice example of that. House collapsed. Alex's friend, he invested a lot of his resources into building that house. He was hoping to have many years of pleasure, looking over the Black Sea, how beautiful it is. It is beautiful indeed. But not on the day where the flood started, where that water, where the storm took away not only the house, but also people's lives, much of infrastructure. And people walking around in those waters, waist deep, they're puzzled, they're frustrated, they're lost. They don't know what to do. As Alexei told me, well, at least get out of the water, step on the table or something. But when that thing happens to you, and if you're not prepared, there's nothing but panic you're going to find inside of your consciousness. So friends, we as Creative Society participants did everything possible to present this information to you, to keep you safe, to even warn you that in case of unprecedented events, you should be ready, at least have the very same backpack, 72-hour backpack with at least amount of provision, dry clothes, and blankets to keep you warm. At least if you're going to end up in the snowstorm, like many people did in Moldova, unprecedented snowstorm at the end of November, where people were stuck on the roads with no help. Authorities couldn't get to them. Last year, something like that happened in Istanbul, where many people, they were stuck in cars. It was freezing cold. It was snowstorm. People were trying to warm up. Gasoline ended up. They ran out of gas pretty fast in those cars. There was no help and they were freezing. They started to just take whatever they could from the cars, including seeds, compile piles and just set it on fire to at least heat up around those self-made campfires. Many people froze to the little consequences. The very same thing happened in Moldova now, except for the fact that it's also unprecedented for that region. So as earthquakes in Slovakia and tornadoes in Europe and tornadoes in Tennessee. Over 10 tornadoes destroyed multiple cities in Tennessee. We're seeing devastation. It's not common for this time of the year and for this kind of events to appear in those places. Otherwise, those villages wouldn't be standing there for many decades and hundreds of years. So friends, there is at least something you should be prepared for. When it's time to leave your house, when it's time to shelter inside of your house, when it's time to pack survival backpack that could at least give you 72 hours of safety, even if you have those hand warmers, blankets, or some kind of stuff to keep you warm inside of your car when it's going to stuck on the road and run out of gas and there will be no help, so that you can at least last long enough to get help. And other kind of scenarios, if in your area you can experience either earthquakes, at least prepare yourself, have a basic knowledge what to do in case of earthquakes, when to leave the house, when not to come back, when to expect aftershock, at least so you know basic information that will definitely be appreciated by your friends, family, and yourself, that you spend those times to really looking into it, friends. Because this is what matters, to stay safe, to do everything possible to warn others, and to hope that people who are hearing us will also wake up and pass this information to the others. Because there is no other way out, friends. Other than unification of people, there is no second solution. We were presented with the second solution from Egon Chalakian, and it has its cons and pros, but anyone who's seen two solutions, I think it's pretty obvious. It speaks for itself. What are you changing? What are you switching for what? So, friends, make conclusions yourself.
Yeah, and as you might have noticed that for several years already, we've been talking about the problem and the solution. But now we also started talking about preparedness. What does this mean? This means that we are entering already the period where things will not be as rosy as they were. I think that it is important not to repeat everything that we said previously, but at least make room in your head for this kind of scenarios. Just think about what exactly you will do, where to keep spare clothes or some water and maybe some protein bars, I don't know. So something to really help you sustain for some time. But also, it is great to see that people started at least paying more attention to this kind of events happening all around. Unfortunately, many still ask, but what can we do? And the answer is simple, guys. We need to talk about these things. Start talking about the true causes of climate change, because the more people know, the more chances we have to be heard. Everything that has to be done now is to spread the information. Spread the information about the true causes. And once the critical mass of people knowing about the true causes, understanding the problematic, once they voice this information louder and louder, there will be no way for mass media to suppress it. This is the most important thing that people have to know. I'm sure that there will be a time when scientists really are deep in their thoughts and underground laboratories working on new ways to kill each other. They will understand that this time, this is not a drill. That this time they have to unite and find a way to prevent this happening to the whole planet. I don't know if you have noticed on the internet, especially on TikTok, there is now a lot of these images and videos generated by AI with the beautiful interiors of some Malibu villas or New York penthouses in the 80s with some nostalgic music and stuff. And I have noticed that my consciousness likes these kind of things. When I started to analyze this, I understood that, oh, it likes it because things were easy back then. There was no this looming perspective of catastrophes happening all around the planet. Of course, life, as we know, throws different things at us, but nothing is unsolvable. Even the crisis that we are having right now, it has a solution. But when you understand that this time, it does not depend on just you starting doing things differently, on us as humanity. Each of us has to take a different approach to life. Not has, but chooses a different approach to life. And then we can really go, it's like a quantum leap to a whole new level. You know, every time when we talk about what's happening to the planet and everything, but then when we talk about the perspectives, man, I really dream about this world where we could have all these things. And just remember these times that we live in today as something like a bad dream or maybe a good dream, because this is how everything started. But it really gives me power to continue doing what we do, because this really is important to understand that, yes, we are almost there. Every time, with every forum, with every conference, with every person who started to understand what we are talking about, we are getting closer to this world where we don't have to worry about electric bills, about getting sick and getting destroyed in a hurricane or any other disaster. I would say that, guys, if you need motivation, if fear is what motivates you the most, just go watch the first part. But having watched the first part, watch the perspectives. As usual, we have perspectives of life in the creative society at the end. Go watch this. And this is even a better motivator for us, is to, you know, do everything possible to be as soon as possible in this world where things are taken care of by every one of us, by adding what he can to the betterment of society as a whole. I think this is beautiful, guys. We really couldn't wish a better world to everyone.
Yes, friends. What moves us as Creative Society of Volunteers is understanding that we have such tremendous opportunities, such tremendous potential as humanity to live freely with absolutely no fear. Imagine your life where there is no fear of not being able to pay bills or make ends meet, or, you know, fears of either losing job or not being able to get employed. So why not we just speak up about what we want? And yes, it's very important to inform people about the climatic reality to save people's lives. But also, let's inform people about the perspectives of the creative society, because only that is the real solution, where we, as a unified human civilization, have unlimited resources, unlimited potential, scientific potential to solve any sort of problems. Even in our days, even with today's science, we can do a lot if we people request it. If we people gonna speak out loud and demand what has to be done. Implementation of 8 pillars and human life above money, above political power. Human life first in self-governing creative society.